Welcome to the Michigan Association of Broadcasters award-winning Monday Night Lights with Brad Allen on KJC Country, 104.7 FM and WKJC.com.
It is indeed time for Monday Night Lights, back in the studio for what feels like the first time in forever for one of these. Last week I was at home. 2 weeks ago we had to miss it due to some power outages, so it's nice to be back in here with you. Unfortunately, don't have the full show for you tonight. We only have a half hour to get everything in. So we're going to do a couple of things right off the bat here. Then we'll do something fun to wrap up the show next segment. So we're going to start. We're going to talk a little Detroit Lions from yesterday. We're going to talk a little bit of Michigan versus Ohio State this weekend. The next segment to wrap up the show, we'll talk a little bit about the state finals for high school football this week. We have two at least semi-area teams that will be playing in Division 5 on Saturday. Is Gladwin, the Flying G's, who have been terrific for the last 2 years. Last year, they get upset in the first round of the playoffs. This year, they are at Ford Field taking on Frankenmuth, who set an amazing MHSAA record that we'll get to next break. And then in the thumb, Ubley, the very powerful Ubley squad in Division 8, they will play Ottawa Lake Whiteford coming up Friday at 10 a.m. So right before you get into your Black Friday shopping, still recovering from Thanksgiving, you can watch some Division 8 football. We'll talk more on that here in just about 20 minutes. But first, we got to talk about the Lions. We got it, and that's where I want to start, is with yesterday before we look ahead to this Saturday for the game of the century. The Lions have won 3 in a row, and the way they've done it has steadily improved. 3 weeks ago, it was bonehead decision after bonehead decision that somehow they still ended up on top, right? A couple of weeks ago, it seemed like, man, they really shouldn't have won this game. They really should have been in a position where they lost. They went for it on a fourth down that they absolutely should not have, and still found a way to be on top at the end of the game. And I tweeted going into at the end of that game against the Packers that, you know what? Yeah, they made some terrible decisions and gave Aaron Rodgers the ball with a chance to beat him. But you know what? A win's a win. And I'm never going to complain about winning. You're never going to hear me get up here and say they didn't win well enough. You win the games or you don't. I don't care if they have to kick game-winning field goals every game the rest of the year. As long as if they're the last team to win, I'm happy. It doesn't matter how they win games. So 3 weeks ago, though, they play a pretty good game against the Packers. The defense only gives up 9 points. They score 15. They make it work. Then the next week against the Bears, it couldn't have been any more different. They couldn't stop the Bears, especially in the fourth quarter. They couldn't stop them at all. Justin Fields ran wild like he's done on everybody. But the Lions kept pace, kept scoring. And even though they were down big, the defense got a turnover, something that never happens with the Lions. Jeff Okuda gets a pick six. And yet, it is a missed extra point by the Bears that ends up being the difference. And I talked about this last week, but I'll say it again. You know, I was watching the game with my brother. My brother is a big Bears fan, so my dad is from Chicago. Handed down the Chicago fandom to my brother. I didn't pick up on it, and here I am, a Lions fan instead. But so he's a Bears fan, and we're texting back and forth, and the Bears kicker misses that extra point in to make the game 30-24. And I texted him and I said, this is never not a big deal. I don't think there's been a situation in the history of football where somebody misses an extra point and it doesn't come back to bite them. It's such a little thing, right? They're still up by six. But in these games, it never doesn't matter. It doesn't matter when you miss it. It somehow matters in the game. Now, this one even more, because then the Lions on the next drive go down, score, make the extra point, and end up winning the game. That brings us to yesterday. The Giants were never close to the Lions. Never close. Even when they got the game back within two scores. Anybody watching that football game knew the Giants had no shot. they were getting blown out by Detroit. Detroit wins on the road. The win against the Bears 2 weeks ago was Dan Campbell's first road win as the head coach of the Lions. Now he strings together two in a row and blows out a 7-2 Giants team. A playoff team. Now, they were frauds at 7-2. Anyway, the Giants were. I by no means was thinking of them as anything great. But you know what? They won those games. And again, I guarantee you, Giants fans weren't apologizing for winning. And so same thing. Yeah, were the Giants frauds at 7-2? Yeah, but they had won 7 of their 9 games. And the Lions came in and destroyed them. I mean, killed them from the word go. The Lions were on top and were clearly the better team yesterday, which is a weird thing for me to get on here and say. Usually I get on here and say they were the better team, but they blew it. And instead, I'm up here and I'm able to talk about how the offense again looked good. Back-to-back weeks, they put up 31 points. This time, though, instead of giving up 30, they give up 18, and that came when they started playing prevent defense at the end. That game was 31-10. That's what that game deserved to be. 31-10. They shut down the NFL's leading rusher, Saquon Barkley, held him to only 22 yards. It had gotten so bad at the end. Then the last couple of drives, the Giants didn't put Saquon Barkley out there. They decided to protect him. They decided to hold him out of the game. Terrific job. Terrific job. Aiden Hutchinson continues to come into his own. The interception he made was amazing. And keep on calling the kid a bust. I mean, so when he didn't perform in the first minute of the first game, people, failure of a draft pick. Because Lions fans somehow, through all the years of losing, still don't have patience, which I don't understand. Patience is the number one thing I have as a sports fan with all of these teams. And we're going to get to one here in a minute. That patience was necessary. The Lions continue to make big plays at big times. You know, maybe Dan Campbell isn't perfect. Makes some idiot decisions, makes some bad mistakes. But he's gotten better. Yesterday, he took a field goal on a 4th and short that, who knows, he probably would have went for earlier in the year and got points on the Lions' first drive. They were the first to score. They went up 3-0. Man, that's important. That felt good watching the game to see that we, on the road against a 7-2 team, had the lead. Then it turned out we weren't really going to give it back, but it was good to see. Dan Campbell's getting better. We have one of the better offensive coordinators in football in Ben Johnson. And even though Aaron Glenn's defense hasn't shown a ton, all you hear about from the rest of the league is how good of a coach he is. The Lions are in a good spot. Now, do I expect them to even keep it within single digits of the Bills this week? Not at all. If the Bills go out there and win the game 31-14, don't be surprised. 38-17, that's what it is. The Bills are ridiculously good. And they played a game in Detroit, the Bills did, this past week because there was 6 feet of snow in Buffalo. So Ford Field hosted their game. So they're going to be in Detroit for 2 straight weeks. They're going to be comfortable. And the Lions aren't going to be able to keep up with them. So I'm not surprised at all if the Bills just blow out the Lions on Thursday afternoon, and neither should you, and don't worry about it if they do. Focus on the games after that. Focus on games against the Jaguars, then division games against the Vikings, the Bears, the Lions, plus they have games with the Jets and Panthers in there. They have a chance against the Jags. They have a chance against the Vikings, against the Jets, against the Panthers, and they've already beaten the Bears and Packers. Now, they are not going to win those last 6 games of the year, so don't think that's what I'm saying. That's not going to happen. They're not going to just rattle off after losing to the Bills on Thursday. They're not going to rattle off 6 straight. But if they can go 3-3 in that stretch, let's say they beat the Jaguars, the Panthers, and the Bears, I'll be pretty happy. I'm going to be a happy fan at them being in a spot where they can go 3-3 in a stretch of what looks like big games. So we'll see what ends up happening. I love the win yesterday. I thought that was great. I thought they played great. Jared Goff tried to give it away once or twice, but either way, they forced 3 turnovers and didn't turn it over at all. Okay, let's transition now. Speaking of patience, there's a lot of people out there who had no patience with Jim Harbaugh. None. You know, fire him 2 years ago after the terrible COVID season. And then, last year, they make the college football playoff. This year, they have a chance again. Yes, they struggled with Illinois. Yeah, they did. But look at all the teams at the top. Number one, Georgia, struggled with Kentucky. Now, they won that game, what, 16-7, 17-7, something like that? 17-6? But it wasn't anything great, and anybody watched that game saw it was 6-0 for a long time. Number two, Ohio State. Yeah, did they win by double digits? You're right. But it took, what, 5 seconds left them to get some weird fumble interception thing where they go into the end zone. That game was a one-score game against Maryland. Then Michigan, who struggled with Illinois. I didn't watch the game. I was doing Taos hockey, so I'm not going to bring you big things on what happened against Illinois. Number four, TCU needed a last-second field goal, and literally last second. While the clock was running, they got their field goal unit out there and kicked a game-winning field goal as time expired. Number five, Tennessee got demolished by South Carolina. Got absolutely killed by South Carolina. That was one of the most fun games to watch ever. It happens. These top five teams in big games, you're not going to win them all, and they're not all going to be great. Because now these teams now, once they got to 10-0, all of these teams are like, oh man, here we go. Now we're starting to think about the rest of the year. It's amazing what happens. That first 9 weeks, teams just kind of play. Those last couple of weeks, things get weird. Every time, things get weird. And things are going to get weird next week. There's no reason Alabama and Auburn should be competitive. Auburn is looking for a head coach. They're terrible. Watch Auburn keep that within one score, and Alabama might pull away at the end. But watch that game be close. For some reason, it will be. Watch Georgia Tech, Georgia be close for a quarter. You're going to be sitting there going, is it really 7-3 after the first quarter between Georgia and Georgia Tech? You're going to be thinking that. And remember what I'm saying right now when you're watching those games. When those games are weirdly close, watch Michigan State hang around and play an inspired effort against Penn State. I don't think they can beat Penn State, but watch them try and watch them get close. So that brings us to the game. Michigan versus Ohio State. Number two versus number three. And what should stay that? Number two versus number three. 11-0 versus 11-0. Neither team looked great last week. Both dealing with running back injuries. Now it matters more to Michigan with running back injuries. Blake Corum seems like he's going to be okay. There was nothing structurally wrong with his knee. Just going to be pain management leading into the weekend. And Donovan Edwards hopefully will be back too. Last year, I didn't have a ton of faith for Michigan against Ohio State. I knew the running game was good. But I was like, Ohio State, they won't let Michigan just run all over them. I wouldn't be surprised if I said exactly this, that there's no way Michigan runs for 5 touchdowns against Ohio State. I wouldn't be surprised if I said those words. And that's exactly what they went and did. So I look at what this game could be. You have the same quarterback for Ohio State. You have who I believe to be a better quarterback than Cade McNamara on Michigan's side. You have a less deep running back room for Michigan. That was 2 NFL running backs last year with Haskins and Corn. And the Ohio State receiving core isn't quite as good. They don't have those top 10 receivers. Both teams are entirely different than they were last year. Entirely different. So when that game kicks off Saturday at noon, don't expect anything like last year. Also, the scenery will be different. A snowy November day in Ann Arbor, Michigan versus 45 degrees in Ohio. It's not supposed to be brutally cold this weekend. That helped Michigan last year. All that snow and that cold allowed the tough, physical, powerful Michigan football team to kind of beat up on the slightly less physical, slightly less powerful, more speed-based Ohio State team. Ohio State's going to have the advantage in the passing game. JJ McCarthy, I'm worried about. I'm worried about this passing game. They have not really been able to string together good quarterback play yet this year. Michigan hasn't. And now when they have to go up against a very, well, I mean, the number two team in the country, Ohio State. I worry about them being able to throw the ball. This offensive line is not quite as good as last year's. It's really, really good. It's a top 10 offensive line, but it's not quite as good. JJ might face some pressure this year. The Ohio State defense can give more pressure than they gave last year. There is a weakness in that Ohio State secondary. Michigan receivers will be open, or at least they should be open. Can JJ hit him? Can the offensive line give him enough time to hit him? Because this game is going to be won by handing the ball off after you've established the pass. Ohio State's going to be flying downhill at Blake Corum. Can you get them off the spot? Don't be surprised if Donovan Edwards gets a lot of early carries. Very different running back. They like to run him outside a little bit just to get Ohio State backed off a little. That's what Michigan has to do to win this game. They're going to fly at Corum. So hopefully you can open up a hole or two to open them up. But they're going to fly at Corum. Ohio State's defense is. They are not going. They remember last year. They're not going to let Michigan just walk all over them again. Or at least they're going to do everything they can not to. I have about the same amount of confidence I had in this game this year as I did last year. Ohio State, I believe, might be the better football team. They have the better offense. But Ohio State gets in a funk every now and then. And they might get in one for a little bit on Saturday. Michigan's pretty consistent in what they do. If you stop what they do, they're in a little bit of trouble, but they're consistent in what they do. Ohio State all of a sudden just won't be able to move the ball every now and then. And if Michigan can force Ohio State into a slight mental error for, let's say, a quarter, and they can capitalize with good offense, this game can be over right then and there. It's going to be a long, powerful 4 hours of football. It's going to be a really good 4 hours of football. I'm going to be as locked in on it as I can. It's a holiday weekend, so of course I have family things that I'll have going on. But I'll be on as locked in as I can be on Saturday to watch this game. My score prediction, I don't think it's quite as high scoring as last year. I think the final score is 31-27. I think Ohio State comes back late, but they aren't going to be able to get it done. I'll take the Wolverines on Saturday, 31-27. I think they get two touchdowns from Blake Corum. I think Donovan Edwards catches one, and they'll find one some other way. It's tough to win in the horseshoe. It is really hard. Last year, Harbaugh vanquished all the demons, or at least most of them, by beating Ohio State for the first time. This year, I think he beats them on the road. I'm worried about the game. Don't have a ton of confidence in what I just said. But every time I look at this, I go, you know what? I think they can do it. I don't love it. I'm not telling you to go and bet the bank on it, but I tell you what, the Vegas spread is 8.5. I don't think it gets to 8.5. I think it'll stay. Pretty dang close. Michigan 31, Ohio State 27. That's my call for this Saturday. All right, also happening on Saturday, high school football. There'll be four state championships crowned Friday night. Four state champions crowned Saturday. Who's going to win those games? I'll do my best to predict those right after this.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Ace is the only national retailer that carries Benjamin Moore.
You there, Marvin?
Moore's quality and huge selection of colors will be right in your neighborhood. Along with award-winning service and advice, Ace has always provided for your paint projects. Around the block, what you need in stock with people who know their paint. Klaus Family Ace Hardware is proudly serving you since 1914 with 16 convenient locations.
We're Northeastern Window and Door.
Losing heat in your attic? Now's a great time to add blown-in fiberglass insulation. Buy 10 bags, get one bag free with the free use of a blower for 4 hours. Still have that roofing project to complete? Certainty Landmark Shingles, $102.75 per square with thawed rooftop delivery available. Call Harrisville Store for details. Larson Model 298SS Storm Door, $179 with installation available. Let the experts at Northeastern Window and Door of Harrisville and Alpena assist you with all your lumber, roofing, siding, hardware, and rental needs. Winter hours, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturday, 9 to 3.
Bring your home back to life. Get the money you need to make your home your own from Sunrise Family Credit Union. Contact us for our terrific rates that are focused on you. You can get the best rate to build your home's equity. And it's never been easier to get a loan on a new vehicle. Offer subject to change. See a branch for details. Learn more at sunrisefamilycu.org. Feel like family at Sunrise Family Credit Union in Bay City, Essexville, and Standish.
You're listening to Monday Night Lights with Brad Allen on KJC Country, 104.7 FM and WKJC.com.
Remember, coming up bottom of the hour, so in just about 9 minutes, we'll toss things over to the Taos Area Ministerial Association for their Thanksgiving service. So those of you who are tuning in for that, that will be in just about 9 minutes. This is Monday Night Lights on 104.7 WKJC, brought to you in part by Northeastern Window and Door of Harrisville and Alpena, and Kevin Hummerkamp at Dean Arbor Chevrolet, US 23 East Taos. Also by Rogers Ace Hardware with 16 locations to serve you, and by Sunrise Family Credit Union. Standish, Bay City, and Essexville. All right, so there'll be 8 state champions crowned on Friday and on Saturday. Let's go through those. Let's see. We'll go through them in order of the way they will be played, and I'll give you my best guess on who will win some of these. Some of these are very, very, very lightly based opinions with not a lot of knowledge behind a ton of these. But let's start off. The first game of Friday, 10 a.m., Division 8 state title game, Ottawa Lake Whiteford versus Ubley. Our friends out of the thumb. Ubley's a powerhouse. It's what they do. Ottawa Lake Whiteford's been very good all year long, but Ubley is a powerhouse. They're trying to get back on top. This is the team that'll do it. Ubley will win the Division 8 state title to kick it off at 10 a.m. on Friday. Then we go to Division 2, Grand Rapids Forest Hills Central. We'll play Warren De La Salle Collegiate. Hills Central is 13-0. De La Salle's 12-1. They will get to 13-1. I believe De La Salle wins this one. You just don't pick against some of these Detroit area schools like Warren De La Salle. I just don't think it's always the smart thing to do. Grand Rapids is going to be heavily thought of throughout championship week, especially on Friday, with 3 teams from Grand Rapids playing on Friday. That's at 1 p.m. I think Warren De La Salle picks up the victory. Let's go to Division 6. This should be the Standish Sterling Panthers. I think they would be in the spot where Nagani is. Nagani, 13-0 out of the UP. They're taking on Grand Rapids West Catholic. Now, I think Standish is better than Nagani. So, by default, I'm taking Grand Rapids West Catholic. The West Catholic was the number one ranked team pretty much all year long, along with sometimes Clinton would jump up there. Standish jumped up to like number one or two at some point. But this 12-1 Grand Rapids West Catholic team, very, very good. I think they take it to the Upper Ball team in Nagani. West Catholic, this is one of my more confident picks. Division 4, Grand Rapids South Christian against Goodrich. Again, you just don't pick against, one, private schools, and two, don't pick against the Grand Rapids area here. I will take South Christian over the top of Goodrich. So on Friday, pencil them in, Ubley will beat Ottawa Lake Whiteford. Warren De La Salle will beat Grand Rapids Forest Hills Central. Grand Rapids West Catholic will beat Nagani in Division 6. Grand Rapids South Christian will beat Goodrich in Division 4. All right, let's move ahead. Saturday, beginning at 10 a.m., it's Division 7 action. Our friends who we see just about every year, Traverse City St. Francis, the Gladiators. They'll take on Jackson Lumen Christie. Lumen Christie lost their first 3 games of the year. They have not lost since. One of those first 3 games was to St. Francis, who somehow has gotten better all the way throughout the year. St. Francis finishes off a great season. They will be 14-0. They will top Jackson Lumen Christie Saturday morning at 10 a.m. and claim another state title for the private school from Traverse City. Next up, Belleville. Now, by the way, I think I mentioned Traverse City St. Francis beat Lumen Christi. It was like 35-28. St. Francis offense, though, has gotten way, way better as the year's gone on. Next up, Division One, Belleville. Anybody catch that Belleville game against Cass Tech on Friday night on Bally Sports Detroit? They'll take on Caledonia. Belleville's got one of the best quarterbacks in the country, the number one ranked sophomore in the country in recruiting rankings. Belleville, they ain't going to lose this one. They'll beat Caledonia Saturday at 1 p.m. I'm going to skip over one because I want to talk about one last. We're going to go to Division Three, the last game of the weekend. Muskegon at 11-2 against Detroit Martin Luther King 9-3. I'm a fan of the best player on the field. At all times, I'll give them the edge. I also said don't bet against Detroit teams. Same thing. Detroit Martin Luther King. They feature a quarterback who's going to Oregon. Five-star quarterback who somehow got out of the state of Michigan. He will handle things. They will top Muskegon on Saturday. Let's go to the mid-afternoon game. I love this matchup in Division 5. Gladwin, 13-0. Frankenmuth, 13-0. Mid-Michigan being represented. These smaller towns, these aren't big. These aren't schools within bigger areas. These are the school in the area. I love it. These are not private schools. These are mid-Michigan schools not associated with bigger cities. Love this matchup. Gladwin against Frankenmuth. The Flying G's have been amazing all year long. Of course, for two straight years, they've been great, the Gladwin Flying G's. That group led by Nick Wheeler, Logan Kokotovich, Earl Esselstyn, with Coach Mark Jaster have been great all season long. They face a very good Frankenmuth team. Frankenmuth set an MHSAA record in their semifinal game against Detroit Country Day. Detroit Country Day did not get a single first down. Not one. They had the ball eight times. It was 8-3 and outs. They didn't get a first down. Frankenmuth is going to walk in here as one of the leaders, one of the division favorites, no doubt about it after that performance. But they haven't faced an offense like Gladwin. This is a hungry Gladwin football team. I'll take heart over record book. I think Gladwin will defeat Frankenmuth. Close, low-scoring matchup. Low scoring. This might be a race to 20 points, okay? Low scoring matchup. Gladwin tops Frankenmuth in Division 5 on Saturday afternoon. So, okay, so there you go. You want to go through all these again? Let's go through all of these divisions real quick again. Let you write down my predictions. I did them kind of fast. In Division 8, Ubley will be Ottawa Lake Whiteford. In Division 2, this is Friday, at 1 p.m., I think Warren De La Salle Collegiate tops Grand Rapids Forest Hills Central. In Division 6, Friday, 4:30 p.m., Grand Rapids West Catholic will handle Nagani. In Division 4, Friday, 7:30 p.m., Grand Rapids South Christian will top Goodrich. Saturday at 10 a.m., Division 7, Traverse City St. Francis will top Jackson Lumen Christi for the second time this season. In Division 1, 1 p.m., Belleville will top Caledonia. In Division 5, 4:30 p.m., Gladwin will edge Frankenmuth. And in Division 3, at 7:30 p.m. Saturday night, Detroit Martin Luther King will top Muskegon. That is my idea for the college or the high school football playoffs and who's going to win each of those. I might go over 8. We'll see. That'll be fun to talk about next week. I'll try and remember my picks here. I'll write them down. We'll see how I did next week. Alrighty, that is going to wrap it up for me today. Thank you for listening to Monday Night Lights. Just a short one today.